Once again, it's my privilege to be able to minister to you guys. And I'm kind of a traditionalist, and I always believe that when we have holidays, that we can talk about them in church. You know, yesterday we celebrated the 244th birthday of this nation. Amen. And yeah, our nation's not perfect. There's a lot wrong with the nation, but praise God, we're still one nation under God. And I believe that. And so today I want to talk a little bit about America and about, you know, how we were founded. Maybe give a little history lesson about some things about God and in this country. But I want to start off with something a little funny. Someone wrote this, and you know, it's one of these things called Only in America. Only an American can a pizza get to your house faster than an ambulance. Only in America are there handicapped parking spaces in front of a skating rink. Only in America do drugstores make the sick walk all the way to the back of the store to get their prescriptions, while healthy people can buy cigarettes at the front. Only in America do people order double cheeseburgers, large fries, and a Diet Coke. Only in America do we leave cars worth thousands of dollars in the driveway and put our junk in the garage. Hello? Now this is, you can tell a little dated, this is a little older, but it's still kind of funny and true. It says, only in America do we use answer machines to screen calls and have call waiting so we won't miss a call from someone we didn't want to talk to in the first place. And only in America do we buy hot dogs in packages of 10 and buns in packages of 8. So, you know, John Wayne says this. He says, sure, I wave the American flag. Do you know a better flag to wave? Sure, I love my country with all her faults. I'm not ashamed of that. Never have been. Never will be. You know, like I said, our country's not perfect. But there's one thing that I was taught as a young man, and number one, to respect my God. All right? Of course, obviously, that's the first commandment, to love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul. Number two, I was taught to respect my country. And I'm proud of my country. Number three, was taught to respect my elders. And I believe if we follow those three things, that we'll treat each other like we should treat each other. You know, I am a proud American. Do you realize that we as Christians, we chose to be a Christian. And no matter where you live, you can choose to be a Christian. Now, I understand that some countries that choose to be a Christian can put yourself in harm's way. But I chose to be a Christian. But I was privileged to be born an American. You know, sometimes we don't think about the privileges that we have and the freedoms that we have in America. And if you travel the world, you'll find out that you don't have those freedoms in other countries. I know Dad talked about one time that he was in one country and they came on the radio at that time and the television and said, just want to let you know the gas stations will be closed all weekend long. You know, and Dad's like, can they do that? Yes, they can do whatever they want to. They're the government. You know, we don't realize the freedoms that we have. We don't realize how good we have it. Do you realize the fact that you actually have electricity in your house? The fact that you have a house. The fact that you have running water makes you richer than most of the nations of the world. You know, maybe you don't live in the nicest house or apartment or whatever it might be, but you have it better off than a lot of folks do. And you know, last night as I was driving down Memorial, I saw firework after firework after firework going off all over. I don't know if anyone saw that. It was kind of interesting. I actually drove them to them. I had to get a few things at Reese's because Walmart was closed. Be honest. And one of the employees was on break, and they were just sitting out watching all the fireworks going off. And, you know, and I was thinking about, it was kind of cool to see all the fireworks, except for if you have dogs at your house that are afraid of fireworks, and it's not as cool. You know, as everyone shoots all these fireworks off, I wonder if they realize that what it meant to shoot those fireworks off. How men and women have sacrificed their life so that they could shoot those fireworks. So they had freedom to shoot fireworks. You know, it's always awesome to hear stories from our veterans and, you know, things that went on, things that they faced. I know a couple times I was able to hear a few stories from my uncle Guy, who fought in World War II, and some of the things he would tell, and, you know, and some of the things he would talk about, how they would fire that gun. It was a big, whatever you call it, howitzer or whatever it might be, you know, and they were firing it. Said it would get so steaming hot. You know, only one time in my life was I able to listen to my Uncle Billy. He didn't talk about it very often, but my Uncle Billy was actually a prisoner of war during the Korean conflict for a couple of years. And one time I was able, he didn't talk very, very much, but one time when the family was all there for a family get together, he talked about some of the experiences he went through. And although they were tragic, although they were sad, you know, he did them so that we could shoot fireworks. You know, it is interesting. Uncle Billy, he never let food go to waste. And if he was eating at your house or whatever, if there was leftovers, he took them home because he remembers when they would fight over a cockroach as a prisoner of war. You know, we don't always think about the sacrifices that were made so that we could have a flag. And it does bother me when people disrespect our flag. Because my ancestors sacrificed. Our founding fathers sacrificed so that we might have a flag. And I'm passionate about my country. It makes me cry. I love my country that much, just like, oh my God. You know, I think it's probably, the love for our country probably starts at a young age, when every morning we would come to school and we would pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And I tell you what, I think it's hard to disrespect something that you pledge to every day. You know, and I am a proud American, and I know, just like my dad knows the same thing, that if we were not if we were not ministers, we would be in politics. Not because politicians are the most upright people in the world, but because I love my country. You know, I love my God. That's why I stand here and I minister to you guys. But, you know, in life you have to do what you're passionate about. And if I wasn't passionate about my God, I'd be passionate about my country. I vote in every election, even the ones that they say don't matter. Even if it's just for the local dog catcher or whatever it might be. I vote because it's my right, it's my privilege, and I believe it's my duty. That's right. Amen. And yes, our country's not perfect. Our president's not perfect. Our founding fathers weren't perfect. They've said things, they've done things. But we have to realize there was only one perfect individual that ever walked the earth, and they crucified him. Yes, sir. We're not perfect, but praise God, we've all been forgiven. You know, we're going through some trying times in our country, but I want to read some quotes from some great men. George Washington, our very first president, the guy that's on your $1 bill, by the way, some of you don't know. And I believe, you know, a lot of times I don't know if we don't teach history, I don't know if we don't understand history, but we need to understand our history. Also, need to understand that our nation, you realize the reason people came to America was to worship God? That was before that we founded this nation. We came here, I mean, you know, as a colony for freedom to worship. That's why we were established. We were established as a place to worship God in the way we please. George Washington says this, it's impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. He also says, do not let anyone claim tribute of American patriotism if they even attempt to remove religion from politics. Woodrow Wilson says, America was established not to create wealth, but to realize a vision, to realize an ideal, to discover and maintain liberty among men. Patrick Henry says this, it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on a religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Benjamin Franklin says this, we have been assured, sir, that in, in a debate in June of 1787, we have been assured, sir, that in the sacred writings that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel.
Yes, sir.
Without God, you're nothing.
Yes,
John Quincy Adams says this, we have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Dr. James Kennedy says this, in reading over the constitution of all 50 of our states, I discovered something which some of you may not know. There is in all 50, without exception, an appeal or prayer to the Almighty God of the universe. Through all 50 state constitutions, without exception, there runs this same appeal in reference to God, who is the creator of our liberties and the preserver of our freedoms. General Douglas MacArthur says this, history fails to record a single precedent in which nations subject to moral decay have not passed into political and economic decline. There has either been a spiritual awakening to overcome the moral lapse or a progression deterioration leading to ultimate natural disaster. John Quincy Adams says this, I speak as a man of the world to men of the world. And I say to you, search all the scriptures. The Bible is the book of all others to be read at all ages in all conditions of human life. Not to be read once or twice or thrice, that means three times, through and then laid aside, but to be read in small portions of one or two chapters every day and never to be intermittent unless by some unruly necessity. Peter Marshall says this, the choice before us is plain, Christ or chaos. Conviction or compromise, discipline or disintegration. I'm rather tired of hearing about our rights and privileges as American citizens. The time has come, it is now, when we ought to hear about the duties and responsibilities of our citizenship. America's future depends upon her accepting and demonstrating God's government. Pope John Paul II said this, every generation of Americans needs to know that freedom consists not in doing what we like, but by having the right to do what we ought. And one more thing, Edmund Burke says this, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for the good men to do nothing. You know, those are a few things that I read, and it's interesting how many years ago some of those things have been written and how true they are today. I believe the moral decline of America is because we tried to kick God out of school. We tried to kick God out of government. God out of everything. And some people now are trying to kick you out of church. Literally. I mean, you know, obviously in California, they made a ruling that you can't sing in church anymore. Or do what they call chants, you know, basically reading the scripture out loud, all of us together. You know, there's been a lot of treading on our rights. The preamble to the Declaration of Independence, and most people believe that Thomas Jefferson was the one who penned these words. He says this, it says this, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their powers from the consent of the governed." Now, you know, that's what it says, but let's think about this. First of all, he says, I want to go back and kind of look at what he said. He says, we hold these truths to be self-evident. You know, self-evident actually means it doesn't need it to be explained. We don't have to explain this. All right? The next part here, it says that all men are created equal. That's what the Declaration of Independence says. And you know, I want to just be honest that I almost didn't read this because I heard some people talking about that July 4th wasn't their holiday because they weren't free on July 4th. Because it is true that when these words were penned, there was groups of people that were not created equal, or treated equal at least. Not just the slaves. Actually, the slaves were not treated equal. Neither were women, nor Native Americans. Sometimes we forget about women. I don't know how. But you have to realize women did not gain their right to vote until the 1900s. I believe it was 1910. With the history lesson, I didn't write it down. Native Americans were not able to be citizens of the United States. You realize a Native American were born here? And here in Oklahoma, I mean, many of us, including myself, you know, we have Native American blood in us, you know, and obviously if you grew up in Oklahoma like I did, you know, we studied about the Trail of Tears that brought them here to Oklahoma. Then we studied about the land run that took their land. Once again, you know, and that's where the term Indian giver comes in, and people think that's derogatory toward the Indians. No, it's derogatory toward the white men who kept giving the Indian land and they're taking it from them. But it wasn't until 1925 that they could actually become citizens of the United States of America, even though they were born here. They were Native Americans. They were Americans before the Pilgrims. But obviously, there's been much said about the slaves winning their freedom, well, by the Emancipation Proclamation and the Civil War. It took more than this proclamation, it took a war for that to happen. But Abraham Lincoln, November 19th, 1863, during the famous Gettysburg Address, he said this, 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. And now we are engaged in a great civil war. See, I'm going to tell you folks, that this is your holiday, July the 4th, because if those words were not penned, if the words all men were created equal were not penned, then all men wouldn't never been able to fight for their equality. It was because of those words that were penned by Thomas Jefferson that the slaves were later freed, because we went back to all men created equal. That because of those words, women were given the right to vote. Because of those words, Native Americans actually became an American American. And if those words were not written, if those words were not penned, if those words were not there, you would have never been free. So let freedom ring. All men are created equally. You know, we learned that as a young man, young woman in church. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. All men are created equal. Once again, you know, Americans still struggle with the Jim Crow laws and other things. To, you know, blacks were not given the right to vote in some states. Segregation was happening in the 60s. And the great Martin Luther King Jr., standing at the Lincoln Memorial with the words of the Gettysburg Address behind him, gave probably his most famous speech, the I Have a Dream speech. He says this: "I say to you today, my friends, that in spite of all the difficulties and frustrations of the moment, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." If it wasn't for those words that all men were created equal, we would not have equality in America. Those words, it is your holiday. Those words are very important. But do you realize that those words did not come from the government? If you keep reading on the preamble, it says that we hold these truths to become self-evident, that all men were created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator. It was our Creator. Who is our Creator? God. God created us equal. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. We were all created equal. And it goes on to say, they're endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Now those words are, what is an inalienable right? Inalienable right is a right that can never be taken away and can never expire. That's what it means. That's the right that we have. And what are our inalienable rights? It says this, that among these, see, there's a few more, but among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We have the right to live. We have the right to live free, and we have a right to pursue what they call the American dream. To own land, to follow our passions of, you know, we have the right to freedom. And those rights were established 244 years ago by the signing of the Declaration of Independence. It was sent over to England. And I'm here to tell you that if you lived in our mother England, you don't have some of the rights that we have. You know, England is a good country, has a lot of good rights. But you don't have the Second Amendment right. the right to bear arms. You know, our Constitution gives us a lot of rights. Our First Amendment right, the right to fake news. It's the right to say what we want to say, whether it's true, whether it's not true. We have the Fifth Amendment right, the right to not, incriminate ourselves or say something stupid that gets us in trouble, basically. Maybe some of us should have revoked that right whenever we were got in trouble in our household. Never thought about taking the Fifth. Man. I was thinking about America and our founding fathers and different people, who have shaped America and how we're not always perfect. And then I thought about the most perfect person that I knew, because I do know Jesus, but I didn't know him personally. I mean, personally, like I didn't walk with him and talk with him, even though I sing about that. We walked with him. I guess I do talk with him. But the most perfect person I ever knew was my grandfather. And I'm here to tell you, he wasn't perfect. I know he was slow to anger and he loved, but I actually saw him a number of times get a little agitated and a little upset. A couple times it was because of something I did. So he wasn't perfect. None of us are perfect. All right. Couple more things that I want to talk about. We have a couple things. First of all, I don't know if you know, our Pledge of Allegiance originally did not have One Nation Under God in that. It was added during President Eisenhower's term. Also, President Eisenhower did one more thing. He gave us our motto that's on all your money: in God we trust. And basically, what I say, that's Mark 11:22, have faith in God. And I believe in that motto. President Eisenhower said this on Sunday, February 7th, 1954. All right. Realize this is 10 years after the day that we lived in infamy. Eisenhower gave a radio address that emphasized the importance of godliness and spirituality in American history. Out of faith in God and through faith in themselves as his children, our forefathers designated and built the republic. Eisenhower said the president gave a brief civics lesson that recalled the struggles of the Pilgrims, the testing of George Washington at Valley Forge, and the determined battle of Abraham Lincoln to save the Union. All these men shared a steadfast belief in God. The one unifying feature of the American experience, Eisenhower said, was faith by millions. We speak prayers, we sing hymns, and no matter what their words may be, their spirit is the same. In God is our trust. Our nation was founded on godly principles, and we've had many godly men that have continued that foundation. I want to read a few quotes from the great President Ronald Reagan. He says this: I believe this blessed land was set apart in a very special way. A country created by men and women who came here not in search of gold, but in search of God. They would be free people living under the law with faith in their maker and their future. He also says this: our liberty springs from and depends upon an abiding faith in God. Another quote: the truth is, politics and morality are inseparable. And as morality's foundation is religion, religion and politics are necessarily related. We need religion as a guide. He also says, if we live by the golden rule, there would be no need for other laws. He says this: I believe with all my heart that standing up for America means standing up for God, who has so blessed our land. We need God's help to guide our nation through stormy seas. But we can't expect him to protect America in a crisis if we just leave him over on the shelf in our day-to-day living. Another quote by Ronald Reagan was, "May all of you as Americans never forget your heroic origins, never fail to seek divine guidance, and never lose your natural God-given optimism." In the closing of one of his speeches, he says this. He says, "And finally, my fellow Americans, may every dawn be a great new beginning for America, and every evening bring us closer to that shining city upon a hill. My fellow Americans, on behalf of both of us, goodbye, and God bless each and every one of you, and God bless this country we love." It is interesting because when the president, talks about the country, he'll say, "God bless this country." You hear the governors and he'll say, "God bless this state." But God bless America. And God will continue to bless America. But we need to do what John F. Kennedy says. He says, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." And I'm going to tell you a few things you can do for your country right now. The first thing you can do is you can pray. We all know this scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Most of you have read it. A lot of you can quote it. It says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land." But I'm here to tell you, it seems that the only time that we as Americans tend to pray for our country, at least most Americans, not all of you, but most Americans, we start to pray for our country whenever we have the presidential election every 4 years. Maybe some of you hit it at the second, in between at the 2-year election. The only other time that we pray for our country is when we start to face crisis, such as 9/11. It was interesting. After 9/11, churches were filled. People facing crisis. It is interesting, too. During this recent pandemic, although people couldn't come to church, do you realize online attendance was at an all-time high?
That's right.
Because when people don't know what to do, they turn to God. But we should turn to him all the time. And we should be praying for this nation every day. If we're truly a one nation under God, then we have to be praying for this nation. And I believe that we need to decide together as Christians and as Americans to pray for this nation daily. Not just in a crisis time, not just in a presidential election, not just whenever liberties are trying to be taken from us, not just in the middle of a war, not just whenever you're going through fear, but every day. I think we should be more thankful for this nation. Like I said, I'm proud that I was born here. I know a lot of people, even today, that wish they could come here. I know people that sacrifice everything just to get here.
That's right.
Other thing that we need to realize is a scripture that I read a lot, John 10:10. And it says this, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." And I'm here to tell you, I believe the thief, the devil, the El Diablo, is all out trying to steal, kill, and destroy this country. But praise God that Jesus Christ came that we might have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It wasn't because of the Constitution. It wasn't because of the Declaration of Independence. It's because these rights were given by God. God gave us the rights. Jesus Christ on the cross ratified our rights. And that we have been set free because of Jesus. And just like I'm a proud American, I'm also a proud Christian. And I understand, just like blood was shed for this flag, blood was shed for that flag. And it's because of the blood of Jesus that everything that we have, in fact, if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, we wouldn't even have this nation. Because this couldn't have been one nation under God if we didn't have a God to have a nation. It's all because of Jesus. This nation was founded on godly principles. And I believe there's more godly people in this nation than there is anti-godly people. And I believe it's time for us to stand up.
Yes.
And make our voice known that we are one nation under God. And that we are all created equal. We should have a voice. And I get it. You know, some people say, well, you know, I'm not proud of everything this nation's done. You know what? God probably isn't either. But it's still a godly nation. Yes, decisions have been made that might not be godly decisions. But you know what? It's our responsibility, according to the word, to pray for our leaders, to pray for our president, to pray for our governors, to pray for our mayors, to pray for our senators, to pray for our congress members. And I believe if we pray more, you know, and if I don't care whether you voted for them or not. Now, the thing is, you need to vote. It's your God-given right to vote. And if you don't vote, then you can't gripe. And I understand there's been times I voted for people that didn't win, but you know what? I still prayed for the person who won.
That's right.
So that I might live a quiet and peaceful life. And I believe that God can talk to people that might even seem ungodly. Actually, some people actually said, even though he was, you know, President Eisenhower was born in the church and his parents were religious people. It says, really, he actually didn't find the true meaning of God till he got to the White House. And think about that. Once he got in the White House, he's the one responsible for In God We Trust, to be on our money, for One Nation Under God. And by the way, that One Nation Under God actually came back, you know, from the Gettysburg Address. That's where it came from. When Abraham Lincoln talked about being under God. You know, the devil is out to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's trying to destroy this nation. But praise God, we need to stand up. And we need to understand that Jesus Christ came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He came that we might have a peaceable life. He came, you know, so that we could have the life that we need to have. The last scripture that I want to read is Ephesians 6, verse 10. And I believe this is what we need to do, and this is how we need to pray, and this is how we can change this nation to once again be a one nation under God. It says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." And I believe more than ever before that the battle that we have in America is not a battle among each other. It's not a battle among Democrats and Republicans and in different races. It's a battle among spiritual things. And the devil is trying to destroy this nation. But it's up to us. It's up to us to fight the battle on our knees. What can you do for your country? You can pray for your country. You can speak to that spirit that's trying to destroy this nation, that spirit of division. More than ever, it seems that our nation is trying to divide itself. But we have a motto that says, united we stand, divided we fall. The devil knows the way to destroy this nation is to take God out of this nation and to divide this nation. But we can take our rights and privileges as Christians to come against that spiritual unseen force that we can't see it. You know, I know a lot of times people don't want to talk about demons and demonic activity, but I'm here to tell you that's real, folks. The devil's real. And the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I talk about it all the time. The reason I talk about it all the time is because a number of years ago, the Lord really laid that on my heart, that the way to true peace is for us to realize that the devil's out to get us and out to, you know, make your life miserable. But praise God, it's not about what the devil's trying to do. It's what Jesus Christ already has done on Calvary. We have been forgiven. We have been set free. We have been given life, liberty, and happiness. And it's up to us now to put on the full armor of God, to stand up against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Goes on to say here, it says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil, withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand. What does that mean? That means take up our spiritual place and stand our ground. And keep standing and keep praying and keep believing and keep demanding. You know, Dad spoke the other day, and he said, you know, actually his book out there called Commanding Power, that you know, there's a time to pray, and sometimes there's a time to say and command. Say, we command this virus to leave in the name of Jesus. We command all these evil situations and all this turmoil in this nation to leave in the name of Jesus. We have a right. Devil, you have no right and you have no authority to attack our nation, because 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died upon the cross to give us freedom, to give us liberty, and give us the right to speak and to change our future. And yes, I am a proud American. I'm a proud Christian, and I believe those two can go hand in hand. And I'm like the Lee Greenwood American. I proudly stand up. You know, my wife kind of got mad at me because I was singing that song yesterday, over and over and over and over again. Not that I was singing, you know, not very loudly, because I'm not the best singer in the world. Some of you might can say amen if you heard me. But I mean, it was interesting all day long. There's one thing, I mean, actually a couple of things that I do on the 4th of July. It's kind of my tradition. One thing is I read the preamble to the Declaration of Independence. I want to know what July 4th, 1776 meant, so that when we're celebrating it 244 years later, we understand that. Secondly, I mean, you know, I think about different patriotic songs, and I mean, there's not a better one, I think, than that one that we proudly stand up. And I believe it's time for us Christians to stand up for our nation. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And I think there's no better time for us to take our place and be a proud American, just as much as we're a proud Christian. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for the right to live in this nation. We thank you, Father, for giving us that right. We thank you, Father, for orchestrating the foundation of this nation. And we thank you for what you've done for our nation, for America. But Father God, we thank you that we today, we stand up and we proclaim as Christians that this nation will be a nation that worships you. Father God, we thank you for revival to this nation. We pray for revival, an outpouring like never before to this nation of the United States of America. Father, we just praise you and we thank you once again for the opportunity to live here. We thank you, Father, for giving us freedom, both spiritually and as a nation. We thank you for each and every person that's here, and we thank you, Father, for that you'll touch their lives, that you'll set them free. We thank you that you're ministering to them right now, and we thank you, Father, for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Let's all stand up. You know, maybe you're here today or you're watching us online and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So I want to ask you, everyone, to repeat this after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you today in the name of Jesus. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. The Bible says that if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, I will be saved. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you, Father, for saving me. If you prayed that prayer for your very first time, if you're here in this room, I want to ask you to speak to one of the ushers in the red shirts. Praise God so they're wearing the red shirts, representing the blood that was spilled. And I wore my communion shirt today. Although we didn't take communion, it would have been a great day to take communion, to celebrate Jesus Christ and to celebrate this nation. But if you prayed this prayer for the first time, and please talk to one of them, and they'll get you some information. Also, if you're watching us online, you can email us at partnerservice@rhema.org. Hallelujah. Praise God. You have anything you want to sing?
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountain.
Oh yes,
to the prairie, to the ocean, wide with fire. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America. It's my
God bless America. Hallelujah. Thank you for that. Great ending to a great day.